Chapter 100. Mere fancies faints. How know the coffin what comes after them, even though it whirl them to the Pleiades? Turn to the real. Spirit of rumor, that Atlas, smoke-smirched shape there in the veil, is still the living nay, his saber broken in his hand, his clothes slitten with plowing ball and bayonet, one epaulette shorn away. He calls out, "Allo!" And a devoted handful follow him once more into the carnage. Hear his voice. Nay, calling afar, "My friends, see how a marshal of France can die. Spirit of the pities, alas, not here in battle, something hints, but elsewhere. ... Who's the sordid brother chief swept past him in the tumult? Spirit of rumor, Derlon he. Nay, cries to him. Nay, be sure of this, my friend, if we don't perish here at English hands, nothing is left us, but the halter noose the Bourbons will provide. Spirit ironic, a caustic wit, adapt, to those who deal in adumbrations. The brave remnant of the Imperial Guard repulses for a time the English cavalry under Vivian, in which Major Howard and Lieutenant Gunning of the 10th Hussars are shot. But the war-weary French cannot cope with the pursuing infantry, helped by grapeshot from the batteries. Napoleon endeavors to rally them. It is his last effort as a warrior, and the rally ends feebly. Napoleon, they are crushed. So it has ever been since Crecy. He is thrown violently off his horse, and bids his page bring another, which he mounts, and is lost to sight. Spirit of rumor, he loses his last chance of dying well. The three or four heroic battalions of the old and middle guard fall back step by step, halting to reform in square when they get badly broken and shrunk. At last they are surrounded by the English guards and other foot, who keep firing on them and smiting them to smaller and smaller numbers. General Cambron is inside the square. Colonel Hugh Halkett shouting, "Surrender! And preserve those heroes' lives!" Cambron, with exasperation, "Murrrd! You've to deal with desperates, man, today. Life is a byword here." Hollow laughter, as from people in hell, comes approvingly from the remains of the old guard. The English proceed with their massacre, the devoted band thins and thins, and a ball strikes Cambron, who falls, and is trampled over. Spirit of the years, observe that all white sight and self-command desert these throngs now driven to demandry by the imminent unwrecking. Naught remains but vindictiveness here amid the strong, and there amid the weak and impotent rage. Spirit of the pities, why prompts the will so senseless shaped a doing? Spirit of the years, I have told thee, that it works unwittingly, as one possessed, not judging. Semi-chorus I of ironic spirits, aerial music, of its doings if it knew, what it does it would not do. Semi-chorus too, since it knows not, what far sense speeds its spinnings in the immense. Semi-chorus I, none, a fixed foresightless dream is its whole philosopheme. Semi-chorus too, just so, an unconscious planning, like a potter raptly panning. Chorus, are then, love and light its aim, good its glory, bad its blame? Nay, to alter evermore things from what they were before. Spirit of the years, your knowings of the unknowable declared, let the last pictures of the play be bared. Enter, fighting, more English and Prussians against the French. Nay is caught by the throng and borne ahead. Rallier hides an eagle beneath his coat and follows Nay. Napoleon is involved none knows where in the crowd of fugitives. Wellington and Blücher come severally to the view. They meet in the dusk and salute warmly. The Prussian bands strike up odd, save the king as the two shake hands. From his gestures of assent it can be seen that Wellington accepts Blücher's offer to pursue. The reds disappear from the sky, and the dusk grows deeper. The action of the battle degenerates to a hunt, and recedes further and further into the distance southward. When the tramplings and shouts of the combatants have dwindled, the lower sounds are noticeable that come from the wounded. Hopeless appeals, cries for water, elaborate blasphemies, and impotent execrations of heaven and hell. In the vast, and dusty shambles, black slouching shapes begin to move, the plunderers of the dead and dying. The night grows clear and beautiful, and the moon shines musingly down. But instead of the sweet smell of green herbs and dewy rye, as at her last beaming upon these fields, there is now the stench of gunpowder, and a muddy stew of crushed crops and gore. Spirit of the years, so hath the urging imminence used to day its inadvertent might to field this fray. And Europe's wormy dynasties rearope themselves in their old guilt, to dazzle anew the globe. The scene is curtained by a night mist. 25. Scene X, the wood of Basu, it is midnight. Napoleon enters a glade of the wood, a solitary figure on a faded horse. The shadows of the boughs travel over his listless form as he moves along. The horse chooses its own path, comes to a standstill, and feeds. The tramp of Bertrand, Soult, Drouet, and Laba's horses, gone forward in hope to find a way of retreat, is heard receding over the hill. Napoleon, to himself, languidly, here should have been some troops of Gerard's corps, left to protect the passage of the convoys, yet they too, fail. I have nothing more to lose, but life. Flocks of fugitive soldiers, pass along the adjoining road without seeing him. Napoleon's head droops lower and lower as he sits listless in the saddle, and he falls into a fitful sleep. The moon shines upon his face, which is drawn and waxen. Spirit of the years, ic dies immortalibus placet, thus is it pleasing to the immortal gods, as earthlings used to say. Thus, to this last, the will in thee has moved thee, Bonaparte, as we say now. Napoleon, starting, whose frigid tones are those, breaking upon my lurid loneliness so brusquely? Yet, 'tis true, I have ever known that such a will I passively obeyed. He drowses again. Spirit ironic, nothing care I for these high doctrine dreams, and shape the case in quite a common way, so I would ask, Ajaccio Bonaparte, has all this been worthwhile? Napoleon, oh hideous hour, why am I stung by spectral questionings? Did not my clouded soul incline to match those of the corpses yonder, thou shouldst through thy saying, fiend, whoever those mayst be? Why did the death drops fail to bite me close I took at Fontainebleau? Had I then ceased, this deep had been emblemed. Had they but worked, I had thrown threefold the glow of Hannibal down history's dusky lanes. Is it too late? Yes. Self-sought death would smoke but damply here. If but a Kremlin cannon shot had met me my greatness would have stood. I should have scored a vast repute, scarce paralleled in time. As it did not, the fates had served me best, if in the thick and thunder of today, like Nelson, Harold, Hector, Cyrus, Saul, I had been shifted from this jail of flesh, to wander as a Cretan ghost elsewhere. Yes, a good death, to have died on yonder field, but never a ball came padding down my way. So, as it is, a mismark they will dub me. And yet I found the crown of France in the mire, and with the point of my prevailing sword I picked it up. But for all this and this, I shall be nothing. To shoulder Christ from out the topmost niche in human fame, as once I fondly felt, was not for me. I came too late in time to assume the prophet or the demigod, a part past playing now. My only course to make good showance to posterity, was to implant my line upon the throne. And how shape that, if now extinction nears? Great men are meteors, that consume themselves to light the earth. This is my burnt-out hour. Spirit of the years, thou sayest well. Thy full meridian shine was in the glory of the Dresden days, when well nigh every monarch throned in Europe bent at thy footstool. Napoleon, saving all was England's rightly dost say el nigh. Not England's, she who's tough, ennestled, self-centered, kindless craft has tracked me, springed me, thumbed me by the throat, and made herself the means of mangling me. Spirit ironic. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.